In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Goedemorgen. Op tweede kerstdag, hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Wat is dat toch leuk. Gisteren hadden we eerste kerstdag met Bobby Schuller. En vandaag hebben we een bijzonder interview met de echtgenote van Bobby Schuller, Hannah Schuller. Het is al eerder opgenomen. Maar wat mij opviel in dat interview is haar kwetsbaarheid. We hebben heel veel muziek eigenlijk in Hour of Power. Want het is een hele muzikale aflevering. Onder andere met Dorothy Beckham. Zij was vroeger Miss America. En ze kan geweldig zingen. En wie kent hem niet? De zingende politieman uit New York, Daniel Rodriguez. Jesus, joy of man's desiring. Jezus, het antwoord op het verlangen van de mensen. Een lied van Johann Sebastian Bach, wat met deze kerst nog zo actueel is. Want hij is het antwoord op het verlangen van de mens. Hij werd voor ons geboren in een stal in Bethlehem.
Rejoice in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Hope, peace, joy, and love. Four candles, four promises continually offered to us by God. And all of them manifest in this one we light tonight, the Christ candle. In Christ we find the hope of transformation, the shalom that flows from justice, the joy of authentic Christian community, and the love that encompasses us in all our diversity, empowering us to make our own unique contribution to God's kingdom. In Christ, we find the light and life and the courage to be like him, answering his call and following in his footsteps as happy students of Jesus.
We rejoice in God's steadfast presence in our lives and in God's perfect presence in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, growing through childhood and into an adult ministry. In all his life, manifesting peace, love, and justice of God, his voice undimmed over the centuries, his call and his promise as clear to us as it was to his disciples so long ago. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Be born in us this night, in our hearts, our minds, our lives. May the light of your life be kindled in us, and lead us to the shining truth, and of God with us, God for us, God in us. Amen.
Who is your God? For Christ the King is born. God's chosen me to deliver him. The Prince of Peace is up. How can it be that he has chosen me?
God's chosen you to deliver him, the Prince of Peace, his son. Rejoice that he has chosen you and me. Praise the Lord, alleluia. Bless
God's
the
chosen
Lord.
Tonight we're going to begin with a scripture reading from Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
proper place, no regal palace to receive a royal birth. God's gift of love wrapped in a blanket would be his way to reach the earth. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb be born? But where else would a lamb be born? No stately house, no noble mansion, where he would reign. Would give his life for me. A bed of straw became a cradle, embracing God in human form. One would expect more than a stable, but where else would a lamb?
Fantastisch, de sfeer die de hele dienst uitademt. Ook Hannah Schuller, de vrouw van Bobby, die de mensen welkom heet. En vanmorgen is onze gast bij Out of Power, Hannah. So much welcome here.
Thank you.
I just said it's wonderful when you invite people to shake hands and say, what do you say to each other?
Hot houdt van jou en ik ook.
What a wonderful expression. Your Dutch is improving.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
Hannah, being the wife of Bobby Schuller seems to be a challenge, but I know it's a joy for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely has its challenges and it's wonderful, the things that are wonderful about it. And overall, the good definitely outweigh the bad. And I'm really, really grateful. I feel like we've become a good partnership and a team. And it really is something I've always dreamed of, being in a partnership with my husband and being able to do ministry together and do life together. And so it's been really neat to see that develop.
Yeah. You're now involved in the service. And when you're home, are you talking about your dreams and say, well, Bobby, I dream of this, and Bobby says, I dream of that, and then?
We definitely do that at times, yeah. We have, usually after the kids are in bed and we have a chance to just wind down and sit down on the couch together, we do a lot of dreaming together, and it definitely, it's, I feel like dreaming together is bonding too, like we bond a lot by that, and kind of bouncing ideas off each other, and yeah.
Is it always peace at the home
no.
of the shore?
Not at all. It's actually usually pretty crazy. Yeah. My son keeps us on our toes a lot. He's still a little bit special needs. I mean, the Lord is doing a lot in his life, but so he keeps us busy all the time. We have definitely challenges that we go through, and but you know, we just keep working through the challenges and trusting the Lord in them, and knowing that, although we get frustrated and we want to control everything, that it's really the Lord is in control, and that we have to release that to him.
Yeah. Let's go to the tragedy, because every family faces tragedies, mm-hmm. and you have gone through a horrible tragedy with your youngest beloved son, Cohen. What happened? When did it start?
Cohen was extremely happy baby, very happy baby. When he hit 2 years old, he had his first seizure. And our whole world like turned upside down. And
what happened inside of the mother that sees a child that is not able to talk yet and has a seizure? Recall that moment.
The very first seizure, my whole body tensed up, and he went blue at first. He wasn't breathing. They don't breathe just for a little bit, and then the breath comes back. But it was like time froze, and you know, it's every mother, it's like a nightmare to see your child like stiff and you don't know what's going on. And we went to the hospital, and that particular time they didn't know for sure that it was seizures yet, so they sent us home. The next time he had a seizure, they're like, okay, we need to do tests and studies. And we were in the hospital for 2 days. It felt like we were in the hospital for a month. It felt like we were there forever. And they did every test under the sun on him, and they discovered that he has polymicrogyra, which is an extra divot in the brain, and it causes the brain to misfire. And we're praying that he eventually grows out of it, because they said it's like a birthmark. It will never go away, but he can grow out of the seizures. And I truly believe, every time I prayed for him, I felt a peace. Like, he is going to be okay. He's going to be great. But that doesn't mean that we're not walking through some deep waters.
Well, you have walked in deep waters, because his life was in danger. He was dying. I remember Bobby was on his way to Israel with
that
the Dutch group,
the
and he had
one.
To return from New York back home, because we all feared Cohen would not survive.
That was the worst seizure. Like, he, I remember that particular one. I was watching the monitor, and he was taking a very long nap, and I kept thinking, why is he napping so long? And I was a little concerned, and I looked, and I saw there was a little shadow by his mouth, and so I was like, what is that? So I went upstairs, and there was throw up. He had thrown up in the crib, and his whole body was an ashen gray, and he was like comatose, and I thought he was dead. I thought he was dead. And in that moment, I remember saying, into your hands I commit your spirit. Commit his spirit, Lord. I commit his spirit to you. And I remember just, I thought he was dead. And I took him out of the crib, and he was stiff. And I went down the stairs. And luckily, my mother-in-law was still there. And I was like, Mom, like, Cohen is not okay. He's not okay. And I remember setting him down. And we went and got his emergency seizure medicine. And I didn't know how long he'd been seizing. I'm like, if he's still alive, he might be brain dead. I don't know. And so the ambulance came, and they took him, and usually when we've been in the ambulance before with them, they're usually like, okay, he's crying, he's fine, but nothing this time. They didn't know. And when I got to the emergency room, the doctors didn't reassure me. They didn't come over and say, no, he's going to be fine. They didn't know. They didn't know if he was going to be okay. And so I was just, at that point, I was just frantic, and I was trying to keep my calm, but I couldn't, and just the tears were just like out of control, and I thought, finally, after enough testing of his oxygen levels, they came to me and they said his oxygen levels were high enough when he came in that he's not going to have any brain damage, and so that was really reassuring to me. I'm like, okay, thank you, because I was very worried about that, and you know, one thing after another, they tried different medicines on him, and it was a nightmare. He was hallucinating with some of them, just having horrible reactions. He started seizing where he would be seizing 12 times a day, grand mal, and my nerves, I was just, as a mom, my nerves were on edge, and I had post-traumatic stress from the whole event. So I couldn't even say the name Cohen without crying.
You said you suffered from post-traumatic stress. Can you explain what it did to you?
It made me irrational. It made me, there were certain things that I was completely irrational about.
Such as?
So if I said the name Cohen, I would start crying. Why am I crying right now? I'm just saying his name. It's like I couldn't say his name without crying. Another irrational thing was that I couldn't be by myself with him. Because I thought if he died and I'm by myself with him, if he has a seizure and he dies, then it was all my fault. That's how I felt. So my mom came out and she stayed with us, and every day she was with me for 2 months to help me through that time. And I'm so grateful during this time the church came around us. They prayed for us. I will never, ever forget the love and the prayers of the church. It brought us through. It brought us through, and they took up a donation to help us cover. We had so many medical bills, and so I'm so grateful for our church family there and for the people there. And so, the Lord, I just see how the Lord brought us through. He used his people to help us, our church family, and so grateful. And we're in such a better place. He's only had one seizure in the last year, so grateful for that. He still has a long ways to go developmentally, but like I said, every time I really seek the Lord and pray, I have an utter peace. Like, I know he's going to be great. He's going to be good. So
it's a happy boy, you know.
Yeah, he is.
You wouldn't think that even something was wrong with him.
Yeah, so. He's so passionate. He's just very passionate.
You have been the mother that was always there for your son, mm-hmm. but your husband had to lead a worldwide church.
Mm-hmm.
That was tough, I guess.
Yeah, very tough time. Probably the toughest couple of years in our life, because it also felt a little bit like the enemy attacking us, because it was right when Bobby received his call to the church. And so we just had, I felt like a lot of attacks right then. And I know that the enemy was not happy what was going on, that God was moving and he wasn't happy. And so we also recognized that. We're like, no, the enemy is not going to win. The Lord is in control. He's the victor.
Did you cry out to heaven, say, God, why? Why me? Why my son?
I did do that. Yeah. I had one night, I was up till 2 a.m, literally reading through every healing verse in the Bible. I'm like, Lord, you promise us here, you will heal us. And I went through every single healing verse and I was crying out. I was in such, my whole spirit was just crushed and in utter dismay. And that was the time around, I think it was around like 2:15 in the morning. There was that, I've never experienced it like this before, but that peace that surpasses all understanding, I felt it come down over my body and come down. And it was so weird, in the midst of this horrible time, there was a smile on my face at that moment. And I'm like, Cohen's gonna be good. He's gonna be fine. Like, I felt it. And I didn't, like, also since that time, I'm like, God, I trust you. And I'm not saying that I don't have bad days and I'm like, this is so hard, but I am saying that I do have an inner peace and I'm trusting that he's gonna be well, so.
You know, what touches me is that we'll see you every Sunday, but not many people do know the story behind a pastor's wife and a pastor that are both struggling, that you were strengthening people in church who were suffering while you needed it probably even more.
Yeah, it was definitely challenging at that time, and I feel like I wasn't able to give as much, but like, that's what's so wonderful about the body of Christ. I think that we do strengthen each other. So at times when we're lower, other people come around us. And when other people are low, we're able to come around them. And it is like that saying that I love is, you know, as we lift others, we rise up as well. And so together we are stronger.
The whole story of Cohen and of your life is linked to one piece in the Bible, one psalm that has been written 3,000 years ago by a shepherd boy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you read it for us?
Oh, yeah.
And why is it so, why does it minister so much to you?
I love Psalm 23. Every night before I go to bed, I say it in my mind every single night. And it has a lot of meaning for me. But one particular night when I was struggling with the stuff with Cohen, when I was saying this over in my mind, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say we will never walk through any valley. It says, even though. So it's like, in life, we will walk through shadows. We will walk through these valleys. And I was really having a hard time with it, because it says, I will fear no evil. And I'm like, God, why can't I not fear? Why am I fearing so much? And I felt like the Lord told me, he says, Hannah, he's like, are you looking at my rod and my staff? He's like, you know me. Like, look at my rod and my staff. I'm not asking you to trust me out of blind faith. Like, you've seen what my rod and my staff done in the past. You've seen that, you know, my rod has protected you from the enemy. My staff has rescued you when you have been in a hard place. He's like, I'm not asking you to believe me out of blind faith. He's like, look at my rod and my staff. Look at all the history that we have together. And I'm like, you're right, Lord, you're right. You have never failed me. You've always been faithful to me. I will look at your rod and your staff, and they will comfort me. And so that, I really felt like in that moment, the Lord spoke to me. And so that's one thing that makes it so special to me. And also just that, you know, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not be in want. I love that.
That to me is, yeah, but that to me is so hard, you know. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Yeah.
But there's so much you want.
Yeah. It's true. That's why I say every night. I have to remind myself, you know, the Lord is the one who refreshes our spirits. He's the one. That's the most important thing in life. It's like if our spirit is healthy and our spirit is refreshed, then our lives are good. Our lives are happy. And it's like we can want all these material things. We can want so much. But really, we don't have to be in want, because it is the Lord who revitalizes our spirit, who nourishes our spirit.
I want to thank you so much for your story and the joy God gave you in the midst of the struggle of life. Mm-hmm. And we all can share that and identify with that. I have a gift for you from the Hour of Power.
Aww.
And it says, you are loved.
Aww, thank you.
And it's the famous painting of Rembrandt. You have
been in the museum
and have seen Rembrandt's paintings.
It's a powerful painting. Yeah. I love that.
Yes. And you know what? Yeah. What our wish of the Hour of Power Netherlands is for you, that the Father has his hands on the Son. And so, in a way, we put our hands on you as the Dutch Ministry of the Hour of Power.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you deeply touched me. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have one request. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to read Psalm 23? Because I think it's one of the most powerful.
Yes, I love it. Yeah, of course. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Nothing to add to that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, Jan.
You're loved. You're precious.
Thank you. Likewise.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Oh, Mary, do you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels roam?
little baby. Oh, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Als jij of u vandaag voor het eerst kijkt, dan willen we graag een herinnering aan deze uitzending, ook aan deze kerst, sturen. En dat is dit kruisje, een prachtig kruisje. En Christus ging van de kribbe naar het kruis. Daar is het symbool van. En we sturen het graag aan jou of aan u toe, zonder bijbedoeling. En ja, het is gewoon een heel mooi kruisje. Wij gaan verder met muziek.
someday I'll hear the laugh of children in a world where war has been banned.
One day I'll see men of all colors sharing words of love and devotion.
Stand up and feel the Holy Spirit. Find the power of your faith.
Open your heart
to those who need in the name of love and
glorious morn. when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymn of praise, in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Oh,
He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another obscure village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then, for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never had a family or owned a home. He never set foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never wrote a book or held an office. He did none of the things that usually accompany greatness. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends deserted him. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had, his robe. When he was dead, he was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave. 3 days later, he appeared before his disciples. A new faith was born. 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of much of the human race. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings that reigned put together have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as this one solitary life. And this truly is the glory of Christmas.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And may he give you a very Merry Christmas. Amen.
En zo is de laatste uitzending van Hour of Power in het jaar 2016 op tweede kerstdag bijna voorbij. Heel bijzonder, want we hebben dit jaar zoveel mooie uitzendingen bij u thuis mogen brengen. En we doen dat als klein toegewijd team. En daar ben ik echt heel trots op de mensen die ook achter de schermen meewerken. Die zou ik nu even hier willen vragen, Caroline en Chris. Als ik het van tevoren had gevraagd, waren ze niet gekomen. Vandaar dat ik nu even vraag of ze hier willen komen. Caroline is de producer van het programma en Chris de general manager van Hour of Power. En wat hebben we een vreugde om altijd deze programma's te mogen maken. En jullie representeren eigenlijk het team achter Hour of Power. Heel veel vrijwilligers, heel veel mensen die zich wekelijks inzetten. En wij kijken in dankbaarheid terug, denk ik, Caroline.
Absoluut.
Ja, zeker. Chris. Ja. Ik wens jullie ook nog een hele fijne tweede kerstdag. En het is mooi om samen te werken. Echt top. En u en jou ook een mooie tweede kerstdag en tot in het nieuwe jaar. Dan hebben we een nieuw jaarthema en dat wordt ingeleid door Henk Stoorvogel, de man achter de vierde musketier. En natuurlijk zal Bobby een nieuwjaarstoespraak houden en heeft hij ook een speciale boodschap voor het nieuwe jaar voor ons als kijkers van Hour of Power. Nou, het is altijd een beetje weemoedig om terug te kijken, maar dat moet je niet zoveel doen. Je moet vooruit kijken. Ik kijk alweer uit, wij kijken alweer uit naar een heel jaar Hour of Power in 2017, ook het jaar onze Heren. Een hele goede dag.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.